Atem nitzavim hayom kulachem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem rosheichem shivteichem zikneichem v'shoterechem kol ish Yisrael. And vayelech Moshe vayidaber es kol hadvarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. Actually, the last one for the year 5770, and the one that will really usher in 5771. We'll be talking about Rosh Hashanah today, because next Thursday, the usual time for this show, will be Rosh Hashanah itself. And I don't know if I will be able to record a show early next week. I might, so I take it back, this might not be the last one. Be that as it may, as I like to say, today, recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Kuf Gimel, Elul, Tufshin Ayin, the 23rd day of the month of Elul, 5770, and that means Elul is winding down. It has 29 days, which will be next Wednesday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then the 1st of Tishrei, and the 2nd of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah 5771. Today's secular date is September 2nd. People say that Rosh Hashanah is early this year. I like to say that September is a little late this year, but it works out to the same, depends on your perspective. In any event, this Shabbat we read Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech. You heard as the intro, the first pasuk, the first verse of each of those two readings. And a quick word about them, although we'll look at their content as well shortly, is the fact that Nitzavim is always, always, always read on the Shabbat right before Rosh Hashanah, the last Shabbat of the year, technically, sometimes alone, and sometimes combined with Vayelech. It works out statistically that it is more often connected than not, but that happens to be based on a detail of the calendar. The bottom line is, if there is a Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which this coming year there is not, if there would be a Shabbat, then that Shabbat would be Ha'azinu. Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, would then be Vayelech by itself, leaving Nitzavim to be the one right before Rosh Hashanah. When there is no Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and that happens when Yom Kippur is Shabbat, as it is this year, or when Sukkot is Shabbat, then there won't be a Shabbat in between, then Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is Ha'azinu, and Vayelech is combined with Nitzavim as the last reading of the year, the one right before Rosh Hashanah. But the point is that Nitzavim is always the one which brings us into Rosh Hashanah, and Nitzavim has some beautiful messages to help us enter this serious period of Yamim Noraim, the high holidays, as they are called, the days of awe, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Let's leave it at that for the moment and say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shema Vekoli, Tehiena Oznecha Kashuvot, Lekol Tachanunai. Imavonot Tishmoryah Adonai Miya Amod, Ki Imacha Hasalicha Lema'an Tivare. Ki Viti Adonai Kivita Nafshi, Velidvaro Hocholti. Nafshi Ladonai, Mishomerim Laboker, Shomerim Laboker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Ki Im Adonai HaChesed Vaharbe Imo Fedut. Vehu Yifde et Yisrael, Mikol Avonotav. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya, Haomedim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, Vyotzieim, Mitzara Lirvacha, Umeafela Laora, Umishibud Lagu'ula, Hashta Ba'agala Uvizman Kariv, Vinomar Amen. I acquired an album this morning, which is called Sha'at Ni'ila. It is essentially songs from the davening of Yom Kippur, but many of them belong to Rosh Hashanah as well, and I will share them, some of them, with you in the course of this show. One of which is Avinu Malkeinu, the traditional Avinu Malkeinu tune for the last line in Avinu Malkeinu. Let me give you a little background. We are talking about a prayer that was originally composed during a period of drought, when the local court had declared a public fast, and at which time the custom was to bring the shul furnishings, the ark and the table and the stand from which the leader of the services prays, out into the public square. People were impressed with the solemnity and seriousness of the situation, and the prayers were supposed to be extra special and very powerful. It happened at one time where a very prominent rabbinic figure led the congregation, and the feeling was the prayers were just not listened to or not acknowledged by God. And it is said that Rabbi Akiva stepped up and said the first, we'll call it kernel, the nucleus of what today mushroomed into a more elaborate prayer called Avinu Malkeinu. But he said, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, our Father and our King, we have sinned before you. Ein lanu melech ela ato, we have no other king but you. Asei imanu leman shemecha, do for us for the sake of your name. And, as the story goes, it started to rain. It developed that we use this elaborate Avinu Malkeinu prayer on fast days, with the exception of Tisha B'Av, which is another story, and during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. One of the points I should have made before, when I was talking about if there's a Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the fact is there is always a Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There has to be, because out of the 10 days of this period, two of them are Rosh Hashanah and one is Yom Kippur. That leaves exactly 7 days, specifically one Sunday, one Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday, one Thursday, one Friday, and one Shabbat. And that's it. Exactly one of each of the days of the week. And there's a symbolism in it. Maybe we'll talk about it next time, which we will be, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the middle of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah as we approach Yom Kippur. But the point is that Shabbat always exists, and there is only one in contrast to what I said about between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Hanukkah sometimes has one Shabbat, sometimes has two Shabbatot. But this particular period of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, coming up not this week but next week, has one Shabbat in it, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. The Avinu Malkeinu, and I'm saying this now in introduction to playing the track from the album I referred to before of Avinu Malkeinu, first of all, acknowledges over and over again that we consider God to be our Father in heaven and God to be our King. And the image of a father and a king are very different. We hope that our relationship, as God has stated in the Torah of Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, you are God's children, is something that we can count on for favorable approach to God, and to say, I'm not approaching you as a subject of your kingship, although we are also, which is where the Malkeinu comes from, but I am also a father. Let me digress for a moment. There's a beautiful mashal that's attributed to the Chafetz Chaim on the verse Hashem Hoshia HaMelech Ya'anenu V'yom Kareinu, but it fits Avinu Malkeinu as well. A story about a young boy, a difficult child, who was sent away to a school which had a reputation of really, really shaping the kids in the proper way. And he was put into a class of a particular teacher whose practice was to be addressed as Rebbe, my rabbi, during class time. But in between classes and before and after, he had the students call him Abba, Father. And he would have meals with them and be very warm to them, but in the classroom it was more of a strict teacher than of a kind-hearted father. One day this boy was fooling around in class, and the Rebbe called him on it and was about to pronounce a punishment when it was time for lunch. "I'll get to you after lunch," he says to the child, and they go to lunch. At the lunch table, this child, who was not dumb, says, "Abba, Father, may I ask you something?" "Certainly, my son." "I was bad in class today, and my Rebbe wants to punish me. Can you please speak to him on my behalf that he should treat me with mercy?" That is our relationship with God, says the Chafetz Chaim. He is Avinu, our father, but he is Malkeinu, our king. He is a strict judge, and he is a God of mercy. These are not two different beings we're talking about. These are aspects of the one unique, with no other uniqueness like it, of the God. And we approach him in this particular prayer, back to the song coming up, as Avinu Malkeinu, recognizing him in both of those modes, roles, functions, however you want to call it. The list of this Avinu Malkeinu is extensive, as I mentioned before. It mentions some of our failings, and it mentions many requests. As such, it is a follow-up, shall we say, to the weekday Amidah, where we ask for similar things. So we ask God to forgive us and to erase in your abundant mercy all records of our sin, and bring us back to you in perfect repentance, and send a complete healing to the sick of your people, and tear up the evil decrees against us, and write us in the book of good life, and write us in the book of redemption and salvation, write us in the book of livelihood and sustenance. These are the extra passages or lines which we say during the period from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, And when it's on a fast day, it's slightly varied. Let salvation soon flourish for us. Raise the honor of your people Israel. Raise the honor of your anointed. Fill our hands with your blessings. Fill our storehouses with abundance. And we keep asking, asking, asking. We get to the last line of Avinu Malkeinu, which makes up the words to the song you're about to hear. And we say, Our Father, our King, Avinu Malkeinu, be gracious to us and answer us, though we have no worthy deeds. Act with us in charity and loving kindness and save us. According to some customs, we don't even say the word ki ein banu ma'asim, that we have no deeds that merit, that serve us in a positive way. We don't even say that out loud, because it's an extremely embarrassing statement to make. For this, the Chafetz Chaim has another mashal, another analogy, to a tailor who went to a warehouse and gave the boss there a whole long order. I would like this number of yards of that silk and of that color and that wool and that fabric and these threads and maybe a machine or two. And he goes through a whole list of requests. And at the end he says, I don't really have any money to pay for any of this, so I'm asking for your kindness to extend me credit. It's an embarrassing thing to say, and yet it would be maybe devastating to say this in front of a strict king, but when it comes to saying it in front of a father, then you're sort of more comfortable pouring out your heart, and this is part of the understanding of Avinu Malkeinu. I apologize in advance, because I'm getting confused already, that Rosh Hashanah is not this Shabbat. It's next Thursday, Wednesday night, Thursday, and Thursday night, Friday, leading into Shabbat Shuvah. But I don't know if I'm going to be broadcasting next week, and therefore I am combining Nitzavim and Vayelech, which we will look at shortly, with Rosh Hashanah kind of themes, and I wanted to play this song, but I also wanted to introduce it in this way. All songs, almost all songs that I play on this show, are meant to be songs and are meant to be prayers, and this one certainly is right out of the prayer book, and it should be right out of our hearts. Avinu Malkeinu Chonenu Va'anenu Ki Ein Banu Ma'asim. Listen again to those words. Be gracious to us and answer us. Answer us implies, very strongly, that we ask for things. It's not take care of us and it doesn't go without saying. It goes with our efforts of prayer, of charity, of good deeds, of self-improvement, and then we might have some worthy deeds to back up all of the requests that we make. Avinu Malkeinu.
Say manu tzedakah v'chesed ve'osh. Yeshienu Ase imanu Tzdaka v'chesed Ase imanu Tzdaka v'chesed Yeshienu
Nitzavim is the second shortest of Sedras with 40 verses. Vayelech is the shortest with 30. The combined total of 70 verses is still small for a Torah reading. By the way, Vayelech has on average the longest verses in the Torah, and Nitzavim has the second longest on average. But it doesn't do much to raise them in the rank size-wise. But I mentioned that Nitzavim always precedes Rosh Hashanah, and I believe that its message is so powerful that it makes the perfect Sedra, perfect Torah reading, to bring us into Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and Yom Kippur. I will be right back and explain what I just said. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech and Rosh Hashanah, pending a decision whether there'll be a broadcast next week or not of Torah Tidbits Audio. But we're talking about now the uplifting message of Nitzavim, which brings us in to Rosh Hashanah each year. Re'e natati lefanecha hayom, see, after all that has been done and has been said, God says to us through Moshe, see that I have given before you today et hachayim ve'et hatov, life and good, ve'et hamavet ve'et hora, and death and bad, evil. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom li ahavat Hashem Elokecha lalechet bidrachav v'lishmor mitzvotav v'chukotav u'mishpatav v'chayita v'ravita u'verachecha Hashem Elokecha ba'aretz asher atav Hashem alivishta. What is the life and the good? That I have commanded you to love God, to serve Him, to follow in His ways, to keep His commandments with the emotion of love, and you will live and flourish and be blessed by God in the land which He is sending you to take over and inherit. However, if you turn away from God, that's the death and the evil. It's your choice. Again, a little bit later, it says, the Chaim and Mavet, life and death is your choice. Habracha v'haklala, blessing or curse. And here is God's request, command, advice, call it what you like. Uvacharta b'chaim, and you shall choose life. L'ma'an tichya ata v'zarecha, so that you and your descendants shall live. Li'ahavat Hashem Elokecha, again, to love God, your God. Lishmoa v'kolo, to listen to His voice. Uledov kavo, and to cling to it. Ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha, that is the key to life and long days. Lo shevet al ha'adama, specifically to inhabit the land of Israel that God has promised your patriarchs. And that's how the Sedra ends. Earlier, if a person somehow foundered and got lost and strayed, there are warnings. But here we have, when this comes to pass, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you shall return to God. Vishamata v'kolo, and listen to His voice, all that I have commanded you, you and your children, with all of your heart and all of your soul. God will meet you halfway, and He will bring you back both spiritually and physically to the land from which you have been exiled. This is the concept of repentance. Worried about it? Too daunting? Comes the Torah and says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, this commandment, which could apply to repentance, which has just been spoken about, Asher anochi mitzavcho hayom, that I am commanding you this day, lo nifleiti mimcha, v'lo rechokahi. It is not hidden from you, nor is it distant. Lo vashamayim hi, it is not up in heaven. Le'mor mi'ale lanu hashamayim v'yikacheho lanu, who's going to go up to heaven and take it for us? And then we'll listen. No. And it's not on the other side of the ocean that you'll have to say who's going to cross this ocean and bring it back to us, but rather, Ki karov elecha hadavar me'od, this is very, very close by, beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto, in your mouth, with prayer, with confession, uvilvavcha, and the feelings in your heart, la'asoto, to accomplish it. And then, re'ei natati lefanecha. So you have in this very short Sedra of Nitzavim, I believe, the uplifting message that brings us in to Rosh Hashanah, to Judgment Day, and gives us a chance. It is not a daunting thing. It is within our grasp. It takes work, but it's within our grasp. That's the beauty of it. And that's the challenge of it. I would like to now play the mini shiur that I gave to the folders earlier this afternoon. You will hear background noise because this week has been a furious madhouse to try to get out this large double issue which covers Nitzavim Vayelech and Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat Shuva Ha'azinu. Didn't even have a chance to mention Tzom Gedalia, which is the following Sunday. Couldn't get everything in. But I did speak to the folders while I was folding. And so were all of they. And you hear the noise. That noise is the device that they use to sharpen the crease of the pages, which as they run it along the fold, it then hits the table at the end of the paper, and that's what makes that annoying sound. I apologize in advance for it, but I would like you to listen to what I told them about Shofar and what it means to us on Rosh Hashanah. With your permission, I would like to share a couple of thoughts about Rosh Hashanah. First, let's start with the fact that the mitzvah of Shofar, according to the way we say the bracha, is lishmoa. Lishmoa means to listen. It also means to understand. But it doesn't mean to blow. Now, obviously, you can't listen to the sound of a shofar unless it's blown by someone who is obligated to blow shofar, to hear shofar. But the fact that the language of the mitzvah is lishmoa allows us a luxury of not having to worry about the technical production of the sound, the lengths of the sounds, the pauses, the breathing. That's all dumped on one individual per shul, or two, whatever, whoever blows shofar. Everyone else who has the mitzvah, be it the obligatory mitzvah of men, or the voluntary mitzvah which has become an obligation for women because your predecessors have accepted it upon themselves, and you really can't say that shofar is obligatory for women anymore. It became an obligation. Beside the point. The point is not having to worry about the technical side. We are free to listen, not just with our ears, but with our hearts and our souls and our emotions, and the shofar tells us different things. That I wanted to start with. Second, out of the blowing of the shofar, you can divide the types of sounds into two categories. One is the teruah, which is what the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah should be a yom teruah, a day of the sound called the teruah. But the Torah did not specify how to make that sound, what it's supposed to sound like. And Chazal, through the earlier generations, speculated and argued as to what the sound of the teruah is supposed to be. Everyone agrees that it's some kind of sobbing, crying, wailing, but how that sound is simulated by the shofar varies. So the major variation are the sounds which we call shvarim and the sound that we call teruah, both of which, this gets confusing, are teruah. In other words, from the Torah's perspective, yom teruah yelochem means make the sound called the teruah. It's we who weren't sure what the sound is that came up with two, three, or more suggestions. And we named one of them shivarim, broken pieces, do, do, do. And the other we named the teruah, do, 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 do. Or a combination of the two. And even with the shivarim, you have an argument as to whether it's supposed to be three plain sounds, do, 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 or it's supposed to be a wavy sound. Do, 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 do. In fact, in the rabbinic literature, they actually write tetvav for tu, aleph vav for u, and tetvav for tu, and the sound is called a tuutu, or a tuu, or an utu. Different opinions how the shvarim is supposed to sound. But the bottom line is, you don't have to worry about that. You just have to relate to all the broken sounds, the shvarim, the teruah, the combination called shvarim teruah. Those are all the same as far as how you relate to them. And they are broken, and they simulate crying and sobbing and wailing, and they simulate the broken heart and the broken soul of the Jew who knows that he should be better. However, there's a very important rule. A teruah is never sounded by itself. It is always preceded by and followed by what's called a pishuta, a plain, long sound, which is what we call the tekiah. Again, it gets confusing because tekiot means all of them, one of which is the tekiah. T Terua means all of the broken sounds, one of which is called the Terua. So it's a term that gets used for different things. But the key for us is that the essential sound is the broken one, but the broken one is always surrounded by the straight sound called the Tekiah or a Pshuta, which means that there are twice as many Pshutot, twice as many long monotones than there are broken sounds. And that's very significant. Two things. A Shvarim or a Terua is bounded, limited, and bounded by the plain sound, and it's outnumbered 2-1 by the plain sounds. Why is that significant? Because the plain sounds are happy, proud sounds. The broken one, which is the essential one but limited, outnumbered 2-1 and surrounded all the time by Pshutot. That's the sad one. That's the serious one. That's the one that calls for embarking on a pathway of tshuva. So when you listen, first of all, before you listen, to know that 2/3 of the sounds that we hear on Rosh Hashanah are proud sounds of, I am a Jew, I am a subject of God as king, I am a descendant of those who stood at Har Sinai, and my neshama was at Har Sinai to hear the Torah. All of that has to do with the sound of the shofar ever increasing in volume, the long, proud tekiah. Then comes the call to repentance, the reminder of the broken heart, the reminder of judgment. That's the Shvarim, the Terua, and the Shvarim Terua combination. But it's immediately followed by the Pshuta, the long, plain sound. If we were to change the position of our bodies and of our face, the Tekiah would have us standing straight, proud, head up, smile on our face. The Shvarim would have us bending over and getting serious, followed by the Tekiah, which once again is a reminder of God's kingship and our commitment at Sinai, the ingathering of the exiles. None of that is sad stuff. That's all fairly happy and proud stuff. Rosh Hashanah is a combination of those feelings. But again, I say, the broken, wailing, crying, sobbing sound, limited, surrounded by the happier sounds, outnumbered by the happier sounds, 2-1, and our attitude should reflect this. We do not say slichot on Rosh Hashanah. We do not ask for forgiveness on Rosh Hashanah. We don't have vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a break. The period of slichot that precedes it intensifies on Erev Rosh Hashanah, followed by Tzom Gedalia, this year a day later because of Shabbat, followed by Aseret Yemei Tshuva, culminating in Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah is a break. No crying, no sobbing, hearing that sound, good reminder, but realizing that the essence of the day is the proud subject of the king, God, the reminder of Akedat Yitzchak, the reminder of Ma'amad Har Sinai, the reminder of the ingathering of the exiles, all of which are associated with shofar, with the sound of the shofar. Destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the broken sound. Call to repentance, the broken sound, needing the broken heart in order to be serious about tshuva. The broken sound, a reminder of the final judgment and the yearly judgment. A proud sound, malchiot, zichronot, and shofarot gets in there also. I think that's a healthy perspective. You want to cry when you daven on Yom Kippur? Fine. I don't see the place of crying on Rosh Hashanah, even though people do. Now, I am not denying the fact that we have the Chazan and the Kohol say who will live and who will die, and who this way and who that way. It's a serious day. It's a day that we are told we are each judged. but it's mixed with that proud reminder of our being loyal subjects to God, and that He is our King, and that's a theme that gets repeated over and over again. Even think of it this way, the main brachot of the Musaf Amidah, of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, and yet Malchiot does double time, because bracha before that, even before you get to the theme of Melech, is HaMelech HaKadosh. So it doubles on that. That's the unavoidable main theme of Rosh Hashanah. It's the anniversary of the creation of man and woman, the anniversary of the creation of God's subjects, and everyone passes an annual audit on that day, but with our head held high, because we are the subjects of the King God, and we stood at Sinai, and we are in the process of the ingathering of the exiles and the Geula Shlema. V'hoya bayom hahu, and it's one of the psukim we quote. It'll come to pass, Yitoka b'shofar gadol, a great shofar will be sounded, and then the exiles will continue to come. As usual, there's so much more to talk about, not only with Nitzavim and Vayelech, but with Rosh Hashanah coming. I still would like to leave you with a song, which is a prayer from both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of my favorites, called Chamol Al Masecha, where we ask God for having to have mercy on His creations. And that's really the way that we turn to Him in prayer, because strict judgment, most of us don't stand a chance. God, with His infinite mercy, then we're in good shape in this judgment, hopefully. And it requires effort on our part, but a heavy hand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God and His side, to help us. Chamol al Ma'asecha.
Masecha, v'dismach v'masecha.
On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a Shana Tova Umetuka, Ketiva V'Chatima Tova, whether or not we have a show next week. Lehishtameah.